Okay, welcome back to the Pistols Firing Podcast. Today's guest, as is usual this time of week, is Matt Amelian. Matt is a part-time contributor to Pistols Firing and also is very good on Twitter. You can follow him at Matt Amelian. And today we discuss Oklahoma State's game against Kansas State, some Big 12 lines, and what the quarterback situation looks like for the rest of OSU season. Thanks for listening. Okay, Matty Amelian, welcome back to the podcast. Oklahoma State had a win last week. I don't know if it was a good win, but you were there, and what'd you think about being at that game?
I love being at the games when we win, but that was not what I was really expecting going into that.
Well, hold on. Let me interrupt you real quick. You love being at the games. You were tweeting during the game about how poor the audio quality at Boone Pickens Stadium is.
Oh my gosh. Like, I know it's been a problem, but and the quality is bad. We all know that. Like, it literally was, everybody around me was just kind of like cringing. I mean, it's so high pitched. But what's even worse to me is whoever is running that, I think I actually was planning on sending Holder an email. They would literally, like, I know of two instances, and one of them was when we had the ball on third down, where they were still blaring their music, and there's 15 seconds left on the play clock. And I'm just sitting here thinking, like, isn't that kind of sound person 101 whenever the play clock starts, the teams line up to stop playing the music? And it was us. Like, it wasn't the other team.
And you're talking about you're talking about the big speakers over Galgriba, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, not only are they, like, were they loud, it's like it just pierces your eardrums. Horrible.
The other thing, we're not going to delve into like what the athletic department needs to do differently, but the other thing, and I've noticed this a lot over the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 years or whatever, it seems like the ref's microphone at Boone Pickens never works. Like, you obviously didn't watch it on TV, but I did, and you couldn't, like, everything he said was lost. The announcers couldn't hear it, I couldn't hear it, nobody could hear it. And
no,
I don't know.
We couldn't hear it at the stadium either. So.
Okay. And I don't know if that's I probably don't watch enough college football to know, but maybe that just happens just because, or I don't know if that's an OSU specific thing, but that seems like, I don't know. It seems kind of unprofessional, like the whole sound situation at Oklahoma State.
Dude, it's like they keep forgetting, oh yeah, we need to check that. I mean, you would think that's what would be part of their pregame routine, getting out there for him to check his mic. Maybe they do, and then maybe during the game, every single game, just have a little malfunction or something. I don't know, but it was, it's kind of, we're picking at something like meaningless, but it did kind of, it was annoying. It kind of takes away from the whole game day experience thing. But
yeah.
One more thing to complain about while watching that game in person.
Yeah, which is exactly what fans, I mean, that's why the internet exists, right? Is so that we can complain about things.
If I were you, I just put Hunziker on the radio and watch the game that way.
Yeah, I need to do that. I do enjoy having ESPN or Fox or whoever on, because they usually say somewhat ridiculous things about Stillwater or Oklahoma State or whatever, and so it's just easy content for me to kind of make fun of them and the 10 thoughts or whatever.
True.
So Kansas State is not good, and OSU had 13 drives. Their average starting spot was at their own 44. So they're basically starting at midfield, and three touchdowns. You can get away with that kind of, I think, because your defense is good and has been really good at creating turnovers and whatever, but that's not a good thing. And I don't know, we saw glimpses on the game winning drive where, they went 75 yards in six plays, but other than that, what are they doing? I mean, what's the deal? I don't even have any answers anymore.
I didn't even realize that that we started on the 44 each time. I mean, I knew it was good field position. I don't ever remember being pinned back. But I was going to ask you, and you probably don't know, and I'd like to know the last time we had more field goals in the game than touchdowns. We had four. I mean, that doesn't – I mean, there may be one game hit in the past 3 or 4 years that I'm not remembering, but
– Well, at I think at Kansas last year, it was 2-2, right? Because it was – they scored 20 okay. at Kansas.
Yeah.
As far as more – yeah, that's a good question. I don't – well, this year against Mississippi State, wasn't it 2-2?
Was
20-3?
No, it was 21-3.
It was three touchdowns, okay.
Yeah, but to go back to your question, and I don't really know. We talked about just 2 or 3 weeks ago on the podcast. We were addressing the question of, do we trust this type of offense? And the answer was no. We don't love it. It's not exciting, but we also don't trust it because it's a lot easier to slow down. Which is, it's obvious it's been a lot easier to slow down. I think there was a lot of, which I can get it, the emotional, let's get rid of Yurcich or he's not cutting it. But again, it's five games. And if you're going to hire the guy, we should have known that, yeah, we had a great system in place, but this guy's coming from Shippensburg to the Big 12. So, I mean, what worked there is not going to work. I'm still giving him some time to adjust and see how he makes adjustments. Did you know last game, and you probably are watching on TV, we averaged 3.1 yards per play on first down versus West Virginia?
Yeah, that's not good. And it was like, I think overall it was like 2.6 or 2.8 yards per rush.
We know that was bad.
I think the rushing, that rushing stat, I think was even worse. Well, no, it was slightly better this week, even though OSU only had 85 total yards rushing this week against the 65th ranked or whatever defense in the country.
Yeah, I mean, Jared, he had, I got him in front of me, 5.1 yards. Now, Walsh's numbers brought that down a little bit.
On the Yurcich thing, let's give him a season. I talked about this, and we don't need to rehash it every game. Which, if we do rehash it every game, I guess by the end of the season we kind of have our answer about him. But
I don't know what else to talk about.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I feel like I do kind of put this week more on him. I thought Walsh played pretty well. I mean, if you and I talked about this, but if Josh Stewart doesn't drop that a deep ball in the first half, which he really should not have dropped that. Walsh has 320 and two touchdowns and a 65% completion rate. That's not a guy that you bench. I did that poll on the blog on Monday.
Yeah.
And whatever, but 50% of people want Shelf people don't like Walsh or whatever, but he actually didn't. He didn't play that badly against Kansas State. The thing that I don't understand, and this is kind of something that I wanted to talk about, is I don't understand why they're not – I mean, it seems like to me that the times that he's gone deep over the middle, where it's not – and I'm not talking about when he scrambles and has to, just kind of Eli Manning or Johnny Manziel the ball, but when it's a called play going deep over the middle – but he actually throws that ball pretty well,
look at that last touchdown drive.
Yeah, and even there was a couple plays on that drive that were deep slants that I actually trust him on more than I do those 4 or 5 yard little slants that he has just no touch on, and I don't understand why they don't do that more.
Yeah, I think the biggest criticism I had, I went back and I came, I was beginning, but I watched like the first three drives or so at home. And I was really remember the first one, and it doesn't make sense to me because, I mean, we're not to hammer on his arm strength, but if he doesn't have the arm strength, why are you trying to throw? And they did a lot of sideline to sideline passing, and I don't know, on that first drive, I think he threw one ball that traveled 5 yards in the air. The rest were two or three or behind the line of scrimmage. And it just didn't make sense to me. But I also, if we're gonna kind of talk about the negative, I did watch that Stewart play, and I forgot, like, I think about it, that came right after Kansas State bailed us out on that running into the kicker.
Yeah.
And I loved that he was just like, hey, we're going deep right now. We're going to make him pay for it. So I love the play call then. And I know you can't do that all the time, but I would like to see more. One of those first three drives, he had Glidden on like a 5-yard slant over the middle. I mean, it went for like 15. I'd like to see more of that rather than a guy catching it 5 yards, but he's like, I mean, Glidden's moving. So, I mean, he's looking for yards after the catch, whereas a guy's just standing there. I mean, they're zoning in on him. He's not going anywhere after he catches it 3 yards beyond the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and I just, you know, and I think I wrote this on Saturday. To me, the bigger issue than Walsh's arm, like his arm strength, which I think Nolan and I had like a 5 or 10 minute discussion over whether or not we had better arms than Walsh, which is, I think is a legitimate thing. But
the flea flicker went 48 yards in the air.
Yeah. And it wasn't like he was pressured. I mean, I don't know. But anyway, the bigger issue that for me than that is him, you know, there was a couple balls where he threw him over the middle. And again, these are like 5 or 6 or 7 yard passes. Like to Tracy Moore, and he had a couple, and he had a lot in the West Virginia game that are behind people, and they try to reach back, and they inevitably tip the balls up, and those are going to get picked, and they didn't against Kansas State, but they will, and I don't like him throwing that pass, and I don't, you know, I feel like Yurcich has kind of had the kid gloves on when calling plays for Walsh, and I think you kind of have to just take them off and let it go. And if that means throwing it downfield and maybe he throws a few picks like that, but I would much rather that, you know, you trying to stretch the field so that the run game can open up than him throwing picks, you know, 2 yards away.
No, I he did throw some bad ones behind. And the one to Glidden was, I mean, he's in on the slot and it was, I mean, real quick over the middle. I mean, no pressure on him from a defensive back by any means. But, yeah, when he's got to put more of that – it seemed like more of that distance on as far as leading a guy, you know, to the right or the left. He's never – I can't remember any that he's thrown that accurate. We have seen him throw, so like, the Stewart one in the field pass last week. Those have been really – I don't know if those were just anomalies or what, but, I mean, those looked really good.
Yeah, I agree. I did have one. I wanted to ask you this because I feel like we kind of talk about this every year, but at the end of the game when it was kind of going back and forth a little bit, Kansas State went up, then OSU scored what turned out to be the game-winning touchdown. Did you want the offense or defense out there to end the game? Like, would you have rather OSU – like, did you feel more confident in OSU driving for the score or in – Kansas State driving to try to take the lead with OSU's defense?
In this game, it was definitely would have rather had the defense out there. Kansas State they're not built to beat you on a quick scoring length of the field type drive. And our defense was playing really well that day. I would have taken our defense.
Without
question.
I think the defense has been, you know, I was a don't fire Bill Young guy, but they've been pretty good this year, and I don't know how much of that is a function of, I mean, have they played a good offense yet? We can talk after the Baylor game, but
well, that's not fair to the other extreme, but
that's probably true. Yeah, what is okay? If you had to set the line, if you're a, you know, lines maker in Vegas or whatever, what is the what's the line on the Baylor OSU game right now?
Oh man, what I would bet it, or what I would expect the line to be?
Yeah, just what you would expect it to be.
I'd probably say Baylor by 6.5 right now. No,
over Oklahoma State.
I wouldn't go double digits. I don't think that they'd set it at double digits.
Well, yeah.
I,
Yeah, you might be right, because they only – I think they're only like – I think it's only like 10.5 over Kansas State this weekend.
Yeah. Was it 10.5? I can't – no, they were like 16 or something like
that. No. Hold on. I'll look it up.
Yeah, you look it up. See what happens. I'm pretty sure it was like 16. Yeah, so and I think that we're much – it didn't really show. I definitely think we're a much better team than Kansas State. I know we said that last week while you're looking that up. I know we said last week that, yeah, the West Virginia game, that's not really who we are. Maybe it's a little more who we are than we thought, but I still don't believe we're as bad as we've played the past 2 weeks offensively.
Okay, how about this? It opened the Baylor-Kansas State line from this weekend at Kansas State, 2:30 on Saturday. Opened at Baylor by 10.5. It's moved to Baylor by 18.5.
Okay, I looked at it last night. I think.
That's insane.
Which would have been Monday night. Yeah. Well, like I said, where you would bet it or where Vegas would open it. And maybe that's one you look at and you say, maybe try to go against the public money. I just, personally, I couldn't bet against Baylor's offense right now. And I think their defense is good enough to hold Kansas State. Let's not get into Baylor because that's somewhat depressing.
Hey, hold on just a second. I gotta pause it because my computer's running out of battery and I gotta go get the power cord.
Okay,
hold on. Yeah, we don't need to get into Baylor this week. We'll talk about them plenty later in the season. But I think you had did you have something else on game lines?
Well, yeah. We should start a weekly deal since we're doing pods on a weekly basis, where we just pick the Big 12 games. You and I pick against the spread. I thought I started off well. Iowa State was the easy one for me, and I picked KU +16 and was looking solid until Tech went off.
Wait, are you saying that we need to pick like who we think will cover, or we try to guess what Vegas set the line at?
No, we're going to pick who we think will cover.
Okay, let's do it this week.
Yeah, exactly. I was 2-3 last week. It wasn't pretty. I got Iowa State and Baylor, and then the rest. It was. I would think sub-500 is bad. But yeah, we'll start doing it, and then we'll just kind of keep track.
Do you want to just do it right now? Like, just run through the games real quick. There's only
let's do it.
Four games.
The line.
Okay, yeah. We got OU Texas. OU's favored by 14.
I thought it'd even go up from there, and it hasn't really yet. I know it's. I'm going OU.
Yeah, I am too. I want to go Texas, not because I love Texas, but I just feel like everybody's piling on them right now, and it just feels like that's a game that a team like that would normally cover. But Case McCoy at quarterback is so bad.
They don't match up.
I can't pick them. So I'll take OU -14. Also, Kansas TCU. TCU is favored by 25.
I'm trying not to like, I know they suck, but I don't love TCU. I'm going to say it's too big and go with KU.
I want to go KU also. And I would have, we didn't do this last week, but I would have taken them against Tech last week to cover. And they didn't come close. Well,
they started off 10-0 for like the first quarter or whatever.
Yeah,
and then
Tech put up like over. I think Tech put up 39 in a row on them. I'll say Kansas also. I saw Charlie Weiss said he was going to make some changes in his depth chart, which I don't really know if that's a good or bad thing. But Daniel Holgorsen did it against Oklahoma State and it worked. So yeah, I'll go Kansas +25 against TCU. I feel good about that. TCU's offense is not that good.
No, I mean, I just look at – you can't look at how they've done against certain teams. I mean, they beat Southeastern Louisiana by 21, so they're at home. They're very capable of having a rough week because they got us next on the road. Not that we're a big game to look forward to anymore, but you know, it's easy after OU in Norman to kind of have a letdown game. And it's an 11 a.m., so.
Yeah. Iowa State at Texas Tech, and that is Texas Tech by 15.
I like Tech. I don't think any Iowa State's not any better than Texas, in my opinion. So.
Yeah, didn't Iowa State beat
I feel like I'm taking the place Vegas would want me to take.
Yeah, you are. Didn't Iowa State beat Tech last year?
Is that the game they won?
Iowa State beat Baylor, and I think they beat Tech also, or they should have, or something happened. My only thing with Tech.
Hold up for you real quick.
The only thing with Tech.
Yeah, they. Tech beat them in Ames.
Okay. My only thing with Tech is I don't know who their quarterback is right now. Baker Mayfield's hurt. They played the other kid, the guy that was supposed to be the starter at the beginning of the year against Kansas, but he didn't throw a pass. So I don't know. I'll take Iowa State plus 15.
I think you're thinking of Iowa State went into Fort Worth last year and beat TCU.
Okay, that might have been it. And then the last game is Baylor at Kansas State, and Baylor is favored, like I said, by 18.5.
Man, I'm actually going to, just because I feel like Vegas set it there for a reason, I'm going to go with Kansas State. I don't like that pick, but I'm going to go with it.
I'll take Baylor. Baylor, how about this stat? I saw this morning. Baylor hasn't won a true Big 12 road game since 2010.
Whoa.
Yeah. I believe they beat Tech, but that was in Dallas, and I don't think they've beaten anybody else.
And not that their offense is going to change, but, I mean, you could see a little hiccup for your first road game of the season, possibly. I mean, Kansas State sucks. Dude, their fans are so good. Like, I was very impressed for a team that has already lost to North Dakota State to come out and show like they did.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen more away fans there, but hey, they were 2-2. Really had no hope for the season. Know that they're not very good, and probably they had more of a chance than anybody thought. But so I think at home against a team like Baylor, I think, and they're probably, it's also a little bit of a revenge game.
Last year. Yeah, it is big time.
Yeah, I guess it's the same as. It's the same as our Iowa State, which it really didn't seem like a revenge time when it came around. But
yeah, you're like, Walsh is playing quarterback. It's homecoming. We're wearing orange helmets with Pete on them. This doesn't even feel like the same thing as last year.
Screw it. We like you, Iowa State.
I do. I like Iowa State. I like Kansas State. And I think, I think part of that goes back to just the fact that they were in the Big 8 with Oklahoma State. We played fun, really fun basketball games against those two teams. Kansas State fans are awesome. I mean, if you have to pick another fan base in the Big 12 to get on board with, that's a good one to pick. I want to talk to you real quick about the quarterback situation, and I don't want to spend an hour on this, but we have differing opinions on this, and I think that OSU should stay with Walsh. You think they should go with Chelf. Why do you think they should go with Chelf?
I feel like you're pulling the sports animal deal where they put words in your mouth that you didn't
say. Well,
you mean like why I prefer to see Chelf.
I didn't word that correctly, but you told me that you think that Chelf should be starting, even though he's not going to.
I think I would rather see Chelf out there, but I think Gundy, since he made the choice to roll with Walsh, that he should stay committed to his decision. I mean, when he makes the call, I mean, he needs to stand behind it. And everybody's like, oh, he's looked bad. Put Chelf out there. And it's like, I don't like when one starts to struggle, you throw the other guy out there. It starts to cost you games. We've talked about the type of offense that's more exciting and something more that I would like to see. And it really comes down to, the arm strength and just the path. Like I look back at a game like Bedlam last year, he's capable of doing that again. And that's more of what I would like to see the offense be. And I don't get excited for Walsh. So that's my preference. I think if Chubb would have been given a little bit more time than the two series at the beginning of the year, which another, we don't need to go too much on that. I feel like he would have settled in. The whole offense in general would have settled in, and I mean, he could be just as successful today, but I don't know for sure that he would be. So, like, if I'm Gundy, I don't make that switch back unless I know that Shelf is the better option at that time to give the team a chance to win.
Yeah, you have to be if Gundy makes that move, he has to be. I mean, he has to be really sure that Shelf is going to be not marginally better, but a lot better. And I just don't think that. I mean, first of all, it's not going to happen, and talking about it is kind of, I guess, a little bit of a moot point, but people are interested in it, and maybe, you know, according to my Twitter survey, people think that it should happen. Are we totally sure that Shelf is that much better than Walsh? I guess he, like, if I
had... Like I said, I think I posted a comment or something. Like, I can't tell you, I can't guarantee you or be confident in saying that Chelp is going to get you one more win than Walsh will. And really, I don't know. My comment on the Chelp thing was just that that's the type of quarterback I'd rather see other than a, which he hasn't, I think he had 11 rushes last game. I'm just not really, I'm not all about the running quarterback, unless it's, I mean, obviously there are exceptions for a guy that's got an arm too. I don't know. I don't love it. I don't trust it. But yeah, it's not like Chelf's an outstanding quarterback that's on the bench. I kind of feel like whoever was given the reins to the season first had the better shot of taking over QB1, which you can say Chelf was the first one out there, but I don't, to me, that wasn't really given the reins. I think it was Walsh was the first one that they said, okay, it's yours to lose.
You know who I want? You know who I wish Oklahoma State had at quarterback?
What, like Brandon Whedon or?
No. Well, I mean, be realistic.
I don't know.
Wes Lunt.
Oh, well, yeah, yeah.
Going
back to that. That post that you, me, and Dave did about, you know, who should, if you're Gundy, who do you start? This was back before he transferred. You guys said Shelf, I said Lunt, because of the sole reason that for the future, his ceiling is a lot higher for the type of offense that we just had, you know, season before with the Whedon years and just, like, don't you want to try to replicate that as much as you can?
You've
got a guy that can do it.
Okay, here's the thing, like, and maybe we've talked about this. I don't understand why Dana Holgorsen, according to everything that I've read, was all about J.W. Walsh. Like, he recruited him, he was in love with him, all these different things. And it's like, why? Like, what was the... And you posted on this earlier this week, but Walsh's recruiting whatever write-ups were like great arm, passer first, all this stuff. And it's like, are we even talking? Like, do you watch him? Like, did you even see like his you know, watch him throw? Like, did you see anything?
Did something
that
happen? Like, who was he playing against? Is it because that he threw a pass 40 yards downfield, but it was underthrown 5 yards, and maybe it still looks, I don't know. Like, I read that and I was like, wait, strong arm that's just going to get stronger? I was like, how strong was his arm, or how weak was his arm?
Yeah,
that blows my mind that Dana was all about it. That does not seem like the kind of guy Dana wants to.
No, it was.
Like, look, dude, he's not a Geno Smith. He's not a Pat White or.
It was bizarre, and you know, we still don't know, and probably never will know everything that went down with Wes Lunt, but man, I'd love to see him back there right now. And I got you know, I kind of got killed a little last year because, you know, he threw a lot of picks, and of course he threw a lot of picks. He was 18 years old, and that's the thing. Last year was such a throwaway season. Like, that season was never going to be anything. And
no, we knew it.
And we knew it, and I think I wrote this at the beginning of that year and said, hey, you know, after Monken or whoever made the decision, yeah, roll with Lawn. That's awesome. Get him 12 games, get him 13 games, and you know, be great in 2013, and obviously none of that worked out. But
the injuries, and so I mean, and this year it may have been the same attitude, but you had one. The rest of the conference was down, so your hopes were really, really high. And then two, I have no idea what he thought or what, you know, how he was treated or what the outlook was in his shoes whenever Yurcich came in. He transferred. Yeah, he transferred after that hire. I mean, who knows? Maybe what people said that Yurcich prefers kind of a mobile quarterback for his system. I don't know how true that is.
What is his system? Like, what is
it? I don't know.
Like,
I haven't watched the Shippensburg film yet. some guy called into the Sports Animal the other day, and he was talking like he knew about it. And basically was saying, like, a lot of, I don't know if it was just QB rollouts, but, you know, kind of a quarterback on the move. I don't know. He didn't describe it well, but it made it sound like not a pocket passer type deal. And so, yeah, if I'm Wes Lunt, if that's the case, then I'm probably not going to want to spend the rest of my college years playing here with this guy.
Yeah.
I have no idea how accurate that is.
No, you're right. And I don't know. I think we need to see over the last eight games or whatever it is, hopefully eight games. We need to see a lot out of Yurcich, and he's going to have to be creative in how he stretches the field, because people can complain about Jeremy Smith and Des Rowland and J.W. Walsh not running all they want, but the reality is that teams are not going to let them run because, you know, Gundy said this his whole career, like from day one. He said, we want to run the ball. And the air raid offense has been a guise for the fact that they want to run the ball. Like, all that is spreading the field out so you can run the ball up the middle of the field. That's all Joseph Randall did. And he was really good at it. And now you're seeing teams that don't respect Walsh's arm and gang up on Jeremy Smith. And that, you know, Jeremy Smith is not as good of a runner as Joseph Randall, but I refuse to believe that he's this bad of a runner. I mean, it's not possible. And he's averaged over 6 yards a carry his entire career. Like, he didn't just go from a 6 yard a carry runner to a 2.5 yard a carry runner. And so,
no, and maybe being the every down back has a little bit to do with that, but yeah, it's not that drastic. No, he's a better runner than, like, his numbers will show. And he didn't have a bad game the other day, but I mean, 11 carries for, what did he have in that game? For 50-something, you know, 55 yards?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I agree. I mean, you look at our running game, it's not like we line up with two tight ends and with a fullback and we're going to run it down your throat, but our running game has been unbelievably effective because of how, like you said, how well we've been able to spread it out.
Yeah.
I miss that, though. That's why I want Shelf, because I feel like our offense can get back to that more so than where we are now. And
my argument to that, and we can end it on this, but my argument to that is that they haven't even tried to go downfield with Walsh. And when they have, it's been fairly effective. I mean, Josh Stewart dropped that pass that he should have caught. They did the flea flicker to Seals. And I wrote this yesterday. I can't even tell you how many times Walsh has gone that little 20-yard seam over the middle that's – he throws it perfect every time. And so keep doing that until teams, you know, start respecting it, and then you can run. And then you can get back to kind of that, you know, offense that starts rolling and starts getting momentum. And I just – people can say switch to Chelf all you want, but they haven't – I just don't feel like they have – really committed to going deep and spreading things out.
No, and remember, I'm not saying switch to Chelf.
No,
there was one point in the game where, in that game, I don't remember, I think it was second half, that I mean, Walsh got, he got forced out of the pocket quick running towards the sideline, and he had nobody to hit, nobody open. So he throws it away. And like the old man in front of me, dude, he's like 70 something, was just the whole game. And especially then, literally just nonstop choo choo, like doing that. And
people
around me were like, oh God, no, he was yelling it. And I didn't see the shirt. And then like they got some other people around me were like, we need to get a quarterback in. And I just was out loud. It's like, what in the world did you guys want him to do on that play? Like, Jeff would have been sacked. Like, and no one looked at me, but I was so frustrated because I was like, look, it's not like that play was on him. I mean, he made more of it than Jeff would have.
Yeah.
I will make this note while we're on it. And like you said, we've got to give Yurcich at least a season. But we'll say that Gundy, I mean, you look at that, like he made a ballsy move going with him. I mean, you look at who he's picked in, you know, the recent OCs with Holgorsen and Monken. I mean, Holgorsen, he had a lot of experience. He had been in the right systems. Monken, I mean, shooting NFL experience there. And so now you're going with this guy who, I don't know, has he ever been anywhere higher than Shippensburg? I don't remember anything like any level higher, but
I don't believe so.
So that's, I mean, you may like the guy. You might be able to watch what he did on.
I think he was at like Indiana for like, he was like a student assistant at Indiana or something.
Okay, that's
probably not that much higher than Shippensburg.
And probably not when, I mean, Indiana can score some points now. So this was probably before those days. Anyway, like you got to put some, if it doesn't work out, I mean, you got to put a little bit of the heat on Gundy. It's almost kind of like, what? Is he purposely trying to go out and like find guys that there's no way we could predict that he would hire him?
Well, and I don't know how many of his quotes, Gundy's quotes, you read after like on Sunday and Monday, but they were.
He's calling him out, indirectly calling him out.
Yeah, they were kind of bizarre. Like when he was talking about how there are five or six people that are involved in play calling, and it's like, what? Like, who are those?
What in the world does that mean?
Who are those people, and why are they, you know, like that never, that statement was never remotely said during, you know, when Holgorsen and Monken were here. Like, I that didn't make sense to me, and I don't, you know, I think that's part of the reason that he's not going to pull Walsh, is that it's like, hey, you make, you know, 400 grand a year, you need to figure this thing out. And
yeah, this is also on Gundy just as much. Did you know that there's a learning curve with switching levels? I don't care how your interview went in the hiring process. Like, you've got to know that there's going to be a learning curve going to the Big 12 from where he was. And that's why I was like, you know, Gundy, this is as much on you as it is on yours. It's 4 or 5 games into the season.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, and one that people, you know, I think people just kind of blindly and wildly trust in Gundy, and that's fine. Like, he's earned some of that cachet, but yeah, I mean, if this thing goes badly, then you kind of got to look to the top there. But yeah, okay,
we'll find out.
Yeah, we will find out. Maddie, appreciate you coming on. We will start. I want to talk basketball today. We'll start maybe next week or the week after. Because I'm really excited about basketball, especially with the way football has gone so far. And, yeah, Marcus Smart coming back should be fun.
Oh, absolutely. And I enjoyed it, Benedict Arnold.
You just start calling me Benedict Kyle. Okay, we'll talk to you later.
Oh, all right, man. See you.
Bye.